You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondorian Murad, the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will, and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. I feel great about this purchase. I got a brand new Nats hat at spring training.
Sharp looking.
Navy blue. It's got the spring training logo on the side. But this is something they're going to be rocking occasionally this year. It's like their new, it's not a block W. What would you call this?
That's what I would have called it, as a block, but it's not. It's I don't know. It's like almost 3D, that,
yeah.
W. You
navy
know what I mean?
Blue W with a little red and white trim, yeah. Stitching on the outside. I like this look. I know people have pushed back a little bit on some of the new gear. First of all, the actual jerseys themselves and the pants, which are see-through, have gotten a lot of pushback, not only from fans but players. But I don't actually mind the look of some of the Nats' new gear. What I'm still mad about is it does sound like that the gray jerseys and apparel for the City Connects last year, That's dead on the vine. Those are just
crazy to me.
Gone, and everybody loved those. But I just think this is a fire hat.
The hat looks really good. So I think the uniform that goes with is that the jersey shirt thing? Like you're a beer league softball team in,
yes,
like suburban New York?
It's like a pullover,
yeah,
light. I don't want to call it a t-shirt, but that's kind of what,
kinda
it, looks
what
like.
It looks like. It looks very cheap and shoddy.
Players, this is what I don't get. Everyone's so mad, and there are players that have pushed back. Players were heavily involved in the design. I read the press release that came out from Nike and Fanatics, and basically with it was attached with like Mike Trout's quotes at the All-Star game last year, because these jerseys, I didn't like what they looked like, But these jerseys were worn at the All-Star game last year in Seattle. I was there for players to like give feedback.
To test out a little
bit.
And
they basically like, this is so much more comfortable. It's lighter. They don't like the stitched nameplates that are bigger.
Yep.
I guess it pushes. You can feel it against the shoulder blades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was kind of the idea that they largely came up with, at least according to Nike. And now you're seeing,
it's not
players
going so well
all over the league going, these are awful.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm going, maybe let the designers design it instead of the player do it. They can have some input, certainly. But yeah, it the rollout has not gone particularly well. But let's not let that take away from the hat. That's a handsome-looking hat.
I did not notice, though. Someone was asking me today about the pants. I didn't really ever notice the pants, even like the see-through element. I wonder if they were wearing their old pants or if they have fixed that problem.
If it's done, I don't know.
Because it wasn't on my radar, but it wasn't something I thought about at any point.
We should have asked, too. I didn't even ask anybody off air, just even thinking about it. It never occurred to me, and that's probably stupid. It should have occurred to me.
A couple players we talked to about it, you know, when we first got down there, were just, like, making fun of the pictures that came out of,
yeah,
the guys. You can see through their pants.
Yep.
They weren't wearing anything under those pants.
That's something you want to see. You can see it.
Like, be extra careful before you take your media photos.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals was one of the many players we got to catch up with. Last year was important for him. It was his first full season with Washington. Remember, he had been shut down the previous season with some arm issues, and so they just wanted to get him on the hill and keep him healthy for the duration of the campaign, and they were able to do that. He is off to a really good start through two outings, 5 innings, 7 strikeouts, sub-1 whip so far this spring. The 25-year-old power lefty throws 98, 99 miles an hour at times, has a chance to be the next ace of this rotation And we started our convo talking about going into the offseason, you know, what he wanted to focus on and how he was going to go about mitigating some of the blow-up outings that he had that ruined a lot of good last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, the all season's for figuring out, you know, why we were successful at times and then what happened when we were not. And, you know, working on some adjustments this spring, and, you know, we'll see how it works, and then, you know, get ready to roll when the season comes around.
What are some of those tweaks that you want?
Just how we're using stuff, location of things, not necessarily how good or bad, you know, the stuff was. It was more how we used it when we used it. And I don't know exactly how we're going to use it, but, you know, we're messing around with that for these next whatever 4 or 5 starts it is, and we'll be ready to roll.
So you've thrown really well here over these couple outings. But you just mentioned kind of messing with things. I mean, how much right now of these performances is you're going out trying to get that guy, you care after the game if it's two shutout with 4 punchies versus, all right, today I just got to make sure this pitch is ready. What's that balance?
Yeah, there's both. I mean, look, there's no need to get too excited about 2 spring training starts either. So, but there's a thing to, is the stuff good? That's important. So,
do you feel good about that right now?
Yeah, I do. I do. And there's going to be adjustments being made and see what, you know, we're going to probably do things in certain situations that we may not do. But it also might end up being something that's real and we use it. But there's something to having success because it means the stuff's where it needs to be. But there probably are times where we don't do exactly, you know, what we would do in a big game that means something. So,
Mackenzie Gore with us here on Grant and Danny Live in West Palm Beach for spring training. In terms of goal setting, right? I mean, obviously you guys want to win games. You're competitive. That's given. But for you personally, what are some milestones for you that you want to go, you know what, if I look back in October after the year, I had a good season. What are some of those milestones for you?
The biggest thing is getting better. I just want to pitch what I'm capable of. Whatever comes with that, you know, it is what it is. So, and you can control that. You can do what you need to do. You can execute. You can be physically be as, you know, prepared as you can mentally. I just want to pitch what I'm capable of, and I think if I do that, we should have some fun. But that's kind of all I'm worried about. So,
do you, in the off season, do you go to any labs or work with like any of the college guys that are out there now that have their own facilities? Like, what'd you do?
Yeah, I went to a guy who was out of North Carolina at the time, and you know, we got a lot of work done. I worked out here with PC, and we had a good off season. He had a good off season. He's looked good. He's doing the same thing that I'm doing, and I'm looking forward to, you know, him making some strides and pitching. All of us, really, we need to all pitch better. So that was kind of the biggest thing going into the off season. I think we all went and figured some things out, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
In terms of being comfortable throwing every pitch whenever you want, right? When does that click in for you? You know what I mean? Like, is it right now? You're probably like, hey, I need to make sure I throw 7 sliders this over these couple of years, or whatever the numbers are. When do you feel like over the course of your preparation of the year, I can throw any pitch anytime?
You know, pitch it. There are going to be days where you got all your weapons. Then there's also going to be days where you might have 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. But you kind of want to go as when end of spring training hits, we're ready to roll. We got all 4 weapons in a good place. And then we go from there. And then what happens, you know, game day happens. But you kind of want to time it up where once the spring's over, we're ready to roll.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to think of now as that you're 25, that you're like a veteran. But if you look at the pitching depth, whether it's Jake who came up last year and now you've got Rutledge and some of the other guys like Mitchell Parker that are here and competing, it's such a young clubhouse. And it's a lot of guys that are kind of happy to be here. Like, it's mm-hmm. a cool vibe being in there. Yeah. Seems like everyone's very personable and approachable. It's refreshing for us. But for you, what has that been like? And can you feed off some of that exuberance and these guys that are just, like, fired up to be at spring training?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some energy here. It's a very different spring than last year.
Why do you think that is?
One, I mean, I didn't know anybody hardly. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of new faces. We also didn't really know exactly how to do things, a lot of the guys. But also, we did it for a year together, and we got some new faces, which we're excited about. But also, it's a lot of the same group. So, yeah. But I think it's a good mix. You know, we got some older guys that have been around, and the young guys work hard. You know, they're watching and listening to these older guys that we got in here. And like you said, they appreciate being here. And I know when I'm still young, but my first big league camps. That was important. I appreciated being around those guys, and it's kind of a respect thing. And at times, I think that's kind of lost today. But these young guys, they've done awesome, and we got a good group.
Mackenzie, I might have even told you this before when we had you on previously, but one day I forgot what day it was, and I said hello to Max Scherzer in the clubhouse on a day that he was pitching. Mm-hmm. Not in a disrupting kind of way, but he looked at me like he was going to bite my face off.
Yeah.
Right? You got some of that, I feel like. You're a really nice guy 6 days out of the week,
it.
And on that seventh day, you're an ornery, mean son of a gun. When do you flip? Like, you get to the ballpark, you're still Mackenzie Gore, but then when it's like starting pitching time, everyone can go to hell. Like, when does that flip for you?
I'm kind of competitive. I don't like losing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the southeastern North Carolina redneck coming out of me. And I've kind of always had that thing, uh-huh. When I played. But I'm also not a guy, once it gets pretty close to game time, we're ready to roll. But, 4 hours before game, I'm not, like, locked in. I can't focus that long. So, but once we get in between those lines, I don't know. Whatever happens once we get out there.
Love it.
Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals. You big golfer? What do you like to do to kind of get your mind away from?
I do like to golf.
Yeah. Yep.
The beach is nice here too.
So in the clubhouse right now, like, who are the guys you compete with the most golf-wise?
Golf with Corbin a lot. He lives out here, so.
True.
I'm sure.
Does he still have a putt-putt?
Yeah, like a putt-putt course in
his house
something.
Or something.
Yeah, I don't, that thing's hard, man.
Is that right?
Yeah. I go to the pool instead. Lane's good. Lane can play. Riley, he had the handmade thing, so he hasn't been playing a lot, but Riley can move it.
I bet.
He's good. So we got some players in there. Stone plays a lot. I wouldn't say I compete with Stone. I just kind of whoop up on him, but but he likes to golf. He's getting better. So, but it's fun. I like golfing too, So you can get out there, run your mouth a little bit.
And, yeah.
So.
Chirp it, guys. Stone Garrett's really handsome. That's not a question. It's just he's so handsome.
Good-looking guy, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle Finnegan, too. I feel like this is a very good-looking team. Is that a weird thing to say?
Yeah, they're good-looking. Then I'll bring us down a little bit right where we need to be.
I don't think so.
No.
Don't sell yourself short.
If I may, I don't know if you were in our most recent Coaches Poll top five, but you have been in the top five before.
Okay. Well,
you received votes?
Yes.
Okay.
Also receiving votes? Yes. But Stone Garrett's handsome. I agree.
That's good, I guess. But at the end of the day, look, it doesn't matter what you look like.
Sure.
You better go play or
– yeah.
If you
cut
lose,
that one for the social. Yeah, that's good, I guess.
That's good, I guess.
But, yeah, you win games, you look a lot better. So
that's fair.
That's a good point. Anything else you'd like to – is that where – are we out there? Okay there?
Look, most piercing eyes. We'll save that for later on.
Yeah.
No, but so in order –
no, nowhere really to go after just that question. Stone Garrett's handsome.
No, when – so post-start. Like, start has ended, you're mad, happy, et cetera. When does it wipe away for you for the next start? Like, when do you stop going over it and it becomes, okay, let's prep for the next thing?
The next day, really.
Yeah.
You got to figure out right away. You don't go back and look at it. I'm not a guy that really freaks out about anything, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to figure out why things happened the way they did. But then once you do that, it doesn't matter. It's over with. Sun comes up the next day, and you got to get ready for the next one. So.
That's Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals, who was kind enough to give us some time in West Palm Beach at spring training. Danny, next, I wanted to get into the comments made today by Senator Louise Lucas. She spoke to some of the reporters who were at the governor's press conference. The governor said that basically she was solely responsible for derailing the opportunity to get an arena to Virginia. She's taking a victory lap on social media and saying as much. She said that she brought it down on behalf of Virginians and she did the right thing for the Commonwealth. But I want to let people hear some of her comments on why she does not want a vote on this, why mm-hmm. she doesn't want to allow for any more conversation about this. We can get into whether or not she's doing the right thing. That's next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. We started the show today, and I would say spent the majority of the first, hour and 20 minutes largely.
Yeah.
On the news that came down last night that it's all but official. The arena deal in Virginia looks dead. Capital One Arena is going to continue to serve for many, many years, perhaps, as the home of the Wizards and the Capitals. And I think plenty of our listeners in D.C. and Maryland specifically are probably happy about that. There might be people in Virginia that are also happy about that, just as there are, I'm sure, people in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia that are disappointed, that wanted a new arena, something state-of-the-art and brand spanking new to go to and to take their kids to moving forward. But what we tried to dissect, and we had Eric Flack in studio with us, who covers politics in the DMV and who's been covering this story from the beginning. He's an award-winning reporter with Channel 9 for his investigative journalism. We tried to figure out, like, what happened? How did this get derailed? Because there's a lot of different conversations we could have. Should they move to Virginia? Yes or no? Should the stadium be completely privately financed by Leonsis or Monumental? Yes or no? Maybe we could have all kinds of dialogue.
There's a lot of intricacies there, sure.
But right now, we're reacting to the fact that last night we found out this possible arena isn't happening, and it's not even going to be voted on. It was an 88-12 vote in the House that it sailed through, and it'll never even be voted on in the Senate, essentially because of one politician. And she is an accomplished, successful politician from Portsmouth named Louise Lucas. She is not just a state senator in Portsmouth. She is also in charge of the Senate Finance and Appropriations Committee.
Right. So any bill that's got, you know, taxpayer money attached to it or whatever's part of the budget has to go through that committee. And she said, it's not going through this committee. It's not going out to the Senate floor.
What's supposed to happen is there's supposed to be public debate, you know, hearings, so to speak, but the political version, where this is debated and eventually voted on so that all the people that you send to the state Senate and that I send to the state Senate and anybody listening in Virginia does, that they essentially can vote on your behalf for what's best for you, either by way of what you tell them to do with your letters and commentary or just based on having a feel for their pulse of their people. But we didn't get that far. There was no debate. There's no vote because she won't allow it to happen. But this was her reaction today after the governor in a press conference said that the state Senate and specifically Ms. Lucas is making a gigantic mistake and really hurting Virginia in the long run with this decision.
Is there a mobile area?
But the reason why that's possible, or the reason why it's necessary, is because I do not believe we ought to put the full faith and credit of the Commonwealth behind a project that's going to further enrich billionaires. If they want this project, pay for it themselves and not put it on the backs of the Commonwealth taxpayers. Plain and simple.
Do you think your beliefs should outweigh the beliefs of the other 139 members of the General Assembly?
I don't do this all the time, but it is the prerogative of the chair, and I think this is the third time that I've done it. And when I feel strongly that what I'm doing is in the best interest of the voters in the Commonwealth of Virginia, I'm going to put 10 toes down and stand with the voters.
One more question. The governor said this would have broad bipartisan support if it got to the floor. Do you believe that, and are you again up?
So I think her answer gets cut off there from the clip that we were able to grab from someone who was on the scene. But the question was essentially, the governor believes that there's plenty of support. That
if certainly was in the other in the House.
Well,
there,
88-12 in his favor. Now, there's some particulars there in semantics where people have explained to me that it was voted that way, not because everyone necessarily wanted it to go through, but to continue to have the conversation take place and push it along. Frankly, it doesn't matter. There was no vote, so we don't know.
Right.
Would the votes be there or not? I'd like to have found out. To me, if you have the process play out the way that it's supposed to work and the thing shot down, no harm, no foul, you lose. Enough people said this isn't a good deal for Virginia. They heard your argument. The vote went against you. But we never got that far. I will say that her take that billionaires should pay for their own stuff is going to be a pretty popular take. You're not going to get a lot of dissension, I don't think, when you say, I don't want taxpayers paying for this. Now, Monumental, for their part, because we've had people on,
yes,
they explain this. It's very complicated, but as if taxpayers are not going to be paying nearly as much for the arena as she suggests that they are, because there's basically a back pay element, and in the end, everyone's going to get their money back.
Yeah.
Sounds better than a lot of times it works out.
Right. So there's paying, and then there's paying. Paying means I pay you $5 up front. Then there's sort of some paying. It means that, like, you start a company or I start a company on your territory and taxes that would normally just go into the coffers for the state don't, and they go towards Grant's company, and it's this complicated relationship. It's all fuzzy accounting. When you get to that level of mathematics and new revenue and bond and this and that, it's frankly dizzying, and everybody's got an agenda as to what they want to believe and what they don't. I don't know either way. I just know that there's been enough people that have said, hey, the numbers that Monumental has presented here don't quite add up in terms of no new taxes or otherwise. So, for example, Monumental has nowhere in their proposal for anything to be done to Metro. Something needs to be done to Metro right there at that spot that they were about to close that absolutely has to be renovated, rejuvenated, increase capacity to have people go through those turnstiles, et cetera. There's nothing in the budget, in Monumental's budget about that. That's not their job. They're trying to build practice arenas and game arenas and everything like that. Well, that money's coming from somewhere. Again, it's probably Virginia because that's a Virginia Metro stop. That's one example, just off the top of mind. So just to piggyback on what you said, her first answer I think is a very good one. I would prefer that 1,000 times over internet memes that we're doing, where we're photoshopping our face on top of like, I killed this and you wonder who did it or whatever we're supposed to do that everyone's throwing clap emojis up to. But that's a very reasonable point to be made. I think there's discourse that absolutely should and needs to happen when you have these kinds of conversations involving billions of dollars, taxpayer funds, jobs, and all sorts of stuff that's affecting a region. I think that's a normal thing and that's good. Her second point, I think, is unfortunate. I disagree with it. But again, she's right. It's her prerogative to do so. She hasn't committed any kind of crime or nothing illegal. I think it should be open for debate. And everybody, if you're...
Well, when you say the second point for people that lost...
Sorry, yeah.
Going back to the clip, you're referencing the question, which was, do you think that your opinion solely should... I don't know how many people he referenced. 179 or whatever. Yeah. But that's the General Assembly. So I'm guessing he's talking about the folks in the House, the folks in the Senate. Basically, you've decided, just by yourself.
We don't get to talk about this anymore.
No one else gets to have a conversation. And this was my annoyance last night, just with the process itself.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that in a perfect world, absolutely, Ted Leonsis pays for his own arena. Now, I'm in the minority because I'm a crazy person who I don't have a problem paying for something I'm going to use a lot. I plan on being there and creating memories, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm not suggesting that I think we should publicly finance arenas and stadiums all the time. I don't have the same immediate reaction that everyone else does of hating someone and calling them evil and saying they're a jerk. It's just not necessarily how I feel about it. It's a business person. Would I like him to come forward and say, hey, I'm a billionaire. I'm going to build you guys this arena you're going to get a lot out of. I also think it's going to benefit Virginia. Just like I think Capital One Arena benefits D.C., I think Nats Park has done wonders for the neighborhood we're sitting in right now. We wouldn't be sitting here in this building above a restaurant next to another dozen restaurants and bars that people come down to every day, all these nice condos where people are living and paying $3,000 a month or whatever the heck these people are paying now. None of this is happening without Nationals Park right here. So I think that there are benefits and values, especially to ballparks and arenas, more so even than NFL stadiums. So that's my own aside, even though if you're asking me simply, do I like when billionaires breaks and people without a lot of money have to pay? No, I don't. I'm with you. I get it. I think your first answer was awesome. But the next question that you referenced, Danny, is, excuse me, though, should anyone else get to have a part of this conversation at all? Like, she's saying, I'm speaking on behalf of Virginians. All of them? I mean, I don't remember voting on that. I don't remember being asked how I felt. Right? So
right.
The process never really started, I don't think, in the sense that not only was there no vote, but they didn't debate this thing the way you would normally debate something.
Right. She's certainly correct that it's her prerogative. Again, she hasn't violated any kind of procedural rules and nothing can be snagged on a technicality. The point is that I don't love that she exercised that. I would have loved for there to have been a legitimate discussion and the pros and the cons, and an impartial economist could come out and say, this number's right, this one's bogus, this tax revenue they say, I mean, I don't know either way, but you know what I mean? This amount of revenue they say is pie in the sky absurd. It's really more like this. This is actually what it's going to cost taxpayers. I would have loved to have that kind of open forum, but we don't get to. So I think that sucks. I don't have a better way to phrase it than
also,
that.
Also, don't you agree with me that from a sheer politics standpoint, these are the types of things that when the person you agree with is doing it, it's awesome.
Of course.
And when you disagree with the person doing it, it's abhorrent.
Totally.
Like, I can't believe she wouldn't allow for this. But I'm just going to put the shoe on the other foot. If she's the governor and it's Glenn Youngkin, let's say, who's saying, I'm here for Virginia, we're not doing this, then it's almost like the roles would be completely reversed for a lot of people.
Totally.
I feel like.
Yeah, and again, the biggest issue I have, and no one's going to care about this, is the you have a reasonable opinion, by the way, that I actually agree with a huge part of that. I cannot stand the idea that it's become just normal that billionaires and billionaire companies, multi-billion dollar companies, are just getting free things from the state.
It's a bad development.
I can't stand that. So I'm 100% on your team on that part of it. For example, the memeing. I it makes my skin crawl that we're doing, while she's like up there making valid points and speaking her mind and being an advocate, as she believes, for the citizens of the state that I live in, very reasonable thing to do. I cannot have the internet memes like your Barstool Sports or something. There's a level that we need to be way, 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 way above, and that's way below it. That's something that really bothers me.
Without delving too deep into political waters, I think that whole decorum thing kind of left us a little wild.
Yeah, we punted on that, I think.
You know what I mean?
I think that's fair to say.
I'm not so sure how above it we are. And, you know, politics is not like the beacon on the hill.
We are below the line. We are below that line.
Not sure when that happened, but I think that's been the case.
You could probably draw a couple arrows on the timeline
few
if
years
you were looking.
At least.
If you were looking.
But, yeah, it's disappointing to me. Not that it's not happening. Obviously, I wanted the arena in Virginia. People keep asking, too, and I'm at Grant H. Paulson on social media. Danny's at Funny Danny. I had a bunch of people last night go, why do you want an arena? I'm a sports fan. I go to a lot of games. I have the possibility of a brand new arena that's state-of-the-art and gorgeous. Yeah, I want that. It's not that much more complicated for me than that. A couple of people have said, well, what's wrong with Capital One Arena? In fact, one of my good buddies, Matt Terrell, remember him?
He used to, of course, I know Matt.
Write about the Redskins for their website years and years and years ago. He hit me up today, and he's like, "What?" Same question that a bunch of people asked me yesterday. Why do you want an arena? And then he said, well, what's wrong with Capital One Arena? And I keep using kind of the same analogy for people. I don't think anything's wrong with Capital One Arena. I think it's fine. It's not great, by the way. I went up and sat in the 400s for the event I took my son to a couple weeks back. We went and saw Monster Jam, and I'm a fat person. But, like, it is a very, very tight squeeze up there. There's no leg room. The guy next to me had, like, a hurt knee, and he was, like, cramping really bad and had to go for a walk after, like, 5 minutes. I mean, it's, you know, it's a long ways from the seats to the floor for an NBA game. All the arenas that are going to get built now and beyond, there's just better tech. There's better ways to get the seats closer to the surface. So I just think a better venue is cool. But the way I compare it would be, if I have a car that's a 29-year-old car, or whatever the car version of that stadium years is, like how old Capital One Arena is creeping up on 30 years now, if I have an 18-year-old vehicle and it still gets me where I need to go, there's nothing wrong with the car. But I can have a brand-new car. You open the door, you get that new car smell. Everything's awesome. It drives itself. I want the bells and whistles. That's all. So I was excited about the possibility. I just would have liked, I don't know, this like it sounds crazy, like a vote or something like that. Maybe like discourse within the state government to have actually happened.
Yeah. So for me, it's less about like wanting a new stadium or otherwise, because I don't go to near as many games as you do. I go to a few. I used to go to a lot more before my kids started having a billion and one activities. I want a structure that puts you on par with the rest of the teams in the league. This is an arms race. The NFL is and the then Redskins, WFT, Commanders are eons behind. They're behind every D1 school pretty much that plays football in terms of their facilities. That needs to stop immediately for me. Same with the Wizards. Their practice facility is 6.5 miles away from where Capital One Arena is. I want that crap to end. I want player development. I want the hockey team that I have to practice in, it's even further in Boston. I want it all on campus. I want state-of-the-art everything, because I'm going to a couple games a year. You put it here, put it there. It's still in this area. I'm fine with that. It's mostly a TV product for me. I just want the Wizards to win bleeping basketball games. This way doesn't work. Let's try something else. Let's try something where we can invest in player development to a high enough degree. And I'm not saying that should necessarily cost me as a taxpayer however many millions of dollars, but to me, I find myself arguing against everybody that's yelling. So anybody that's yelling one way or the other, I'm arguing against everyone at this point.
That's kind of how I am a lot of the time with political stuff, I feel like. There's very loud people on both sides, and I'm not sure I agree with anything that any of them think most of the time. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. What is your reaction to the news, really, as of last night? It seems like the Virginia Arena is not happening. We have the Senator Lucas coming out today, talking after the governor said she's making a huge mistake and she's going to hurt Virginia with the, you know, opportunity for development that she's turned down. You're listening to G&D on the Fan.
Do you think your beliefs should outweigh the beliefs of the other 139 members of the General Assembly?
I don't do this all the time, but it is the prerogative of the chair, and I think this is the third time that I've done it. And when I feel strongly that what I'm doing is in the best interest of the voters in the Commonwealth of Virginia, I'm going to put 10 toes down and stand with the voters.
At Senator Lucas, Portsmouth, Virginia, decided last night there would be no more discussion and no vote to add a potential arena to the budget in Virginia. Question for you guys, 800-636-1067. How you feeling about that today? As she has made the decision for the Commonwealth. It's just hard not to feel like, all right, well, I guess I'll just keep going to Capital One Arena then. Let me know if you change your mind, ma'am. You know?
Yeah.
It's just 25 years of memories. I mean, there was a lot on the line for a lot of people here. And one person's opinion seemed to be pretty large in all of this.
And that doesn't excuse, by the way, just for me, I don't want to speak for you, the dozens of missteps along the way by people that are advocating for it, whether it's Monumental or Glenn Youngkin, whomever else. It's just at this point in the process, she didn't allow any more discussion. And that's, again, that's where I'm at in terms of my, a little bit of frustration.
Yeah,
I think we are
discussing one element of a much larger thing.
Right.
Right? Any of these could be a segment or a day. I think Youngkin, Leonsis, Monumental, Virginia, whatever it is, we could dissect every element of it. I think that in hindsight, I don't know a lot about the situation, but from what I've gathered, they could have done a lot better job engaging her.
Totally.
Clearly, she felt it was miffed and left out. They eventually gave her way more money than she asked for her toll relief, and it seemed to be too late. Didn't care. Wasn't going to get her to change her mind. But they should have engaged way more people, and it just seems like, you know, for us, we found out at the last second, and it felt like, wow, they went in a span of a few days from not getting their money from D.C. to having this press conference, and maybe it was closer to that than we thought. And they worked on it for a long, long time.
Indeed.
It seems like a lot of people behind the scenes were surprised when the press conference came. Let's go to Zach in Alexandria. What's up?
Hi, guys. You know, you guys are great. You've covered a lot of ground, and I always find myself always agreeing with one or both of you because, you know, my work life, I'm overprepared, but my non-work life, I'm like, it'll be fine. So one of you guys is always with me. But on this one, I have to disagree with you guys. I'm so happy. I live in Alexandria. And it's a boondoggle from the state to the city of Alexandria, but I still don't want it. And I think there's a number of things. But one thing that you did mention that you don't like when billionaires don't build pay for stadiums themselves. That's exactly what Abe Poland did when he put it in Chinatown.
Different era, though. But you're right. I mean,
totally different era. But
yeah,
that's our local. That's the legacy of this franchise.
Totally understood.
And, yep.
I completely agree with you. I would point to FedEx Field though as the last time that anybody in this city, or I guess it was about the same era, same time as Abe Poland, but built their own thing. Like, how'd that work out? I mean,
yeah.
If you're going to build it, you got to build it right. You got to do it right. It's got to be something that's going to have some staying power over a long time and keep well. Let's go to Rob in Ashburn. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up, bud?
I really think that this is all political. Lucas has a history, and I don't want to make politics out of this, but it's affecting us, of not supporting Caucasian anything. Even back to 2018, she has gone after people with money, and she has gone after people who have supported the community in ways, but in ways in which she doesn't approve. And this is just, it's a political maneuver by her. and she's willing to
let me jump in. Because I'm frankly, I'm uncomfortable. I don't have the details on some of what you're talking about. I have a hard time believing. I think you said Caucasian at one point, or this is like a race
thing. I don't know about
that,
yeah.
I'm not going to play that game. What I will say is, if you're saying it's political because she didn't want to support something that a Republican governor was doing, we had a reporter in here who covered this all along who said this could have been very different if the shoe was on the other foot. In other words, maybe it would be the other party who was against it if you had
Terry McAuliffe had won the election a couple of years ago or whatever.
That's how the world works now. I think we'd all be naive to assume otherwise. So that is possible. But I don't want to delve into, with all due respect to you, I can, when someone's talking sports and making points,
I can navigate that pretty
fiction.
Good.
I don't know enough on that one. So I'm not going to just let people make claims that I can't defend or tell them they're wrong on.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fair way to approach it. But so it felt... So I'm trying to remember the exact timeline, so I apologize for getting this wrong. But it felt a few weeks ago when we kind of did this and she made her first big thing on Twitter or with a big public proclamation. I'm going, this feels like politics. It feels like a way to say, you didn't consult me first. You better give me my thing that I care about, which she got in this form of toll relief. I'd love some toll relief myself, by the way. If I want to get home for dinner with my kids, it's like $13 on some of these roads. But whatever, I put that aside. So she got that, and then it became more than just politics, I think. So that's what I thought it was at first, just the normal gamesmanship, a posturing, but it seems to have gone beyond that.
Do you guys think this is over in the sense of, should Ted Leonsis try again to make this happen in Virginia? Should he just move on and go back to D.C., get his $500 million, and work on his relationship with the mayor? Should Maryland engage? Where do you think's next? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.